worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening. We invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms as we share two very familiar and very favorite psalms, Psalm 23 and Psalm 100. Again, Psalm 23, followed by Psalm 100. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Then looking further in the book of Psalms, Psalm 100 beginning at verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. All of Psalm 100. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the book of Psalms in your word. And thank you for the many ways that this book is a blessing to us as it teaches us and encourages us to live a life of praise, thanksgiving, and worship. Thank you for the many ways that your wisdom through the book of Psalms guides us into seeing the great need for us to be a people who live lives given to worship, thanksgiving, and praise. And Lord, fill us afresh today with that spirit that would encourage us to live fully, continually giving you thanks, praise, glory, and honor for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your loving kindness, all that you are and all that you do for us. Thank you, Lord, for loving us with an everlasting love. Help us to grow in our love for all of your word, and help us to learn more and more wisely to put the wisdom of the book of Psalms to work in our lives. Teach and empower us to more and more to live a life full of thanksgiving, praise, and worship of you. We love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Let me remind you that we do have coming up in just a few weeks our fall share-a-thon, and we would like to invite you to give us a call. And if Urban Family has been a blessing to you, if it's been of encouragement and strength to you, we invite you to call this number and share a listener testimony. You can call in and it can be recorded. Call this number, 1-877-327-5647. Again, 1-877-327-5647 to share a listener testimony sharing how the Lord has used Urban Family to encourage you, to empower you as a disciple and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you just might hear your testimony during our fall share-a-thon. Hope you'll call in. Once again, the number 1-877-327-5647. Let me remind you also, this coming Saturday is that powerful outreach called Operation Tank Full of Love. It does end this Saturday. You can help Urban Family and American Family Radio and Eric Horner Ministries reach out to those who defend our freedom, though some of those in the military. It's our opportunity to say thanks to those who've sacrificed so much and given themselves so sacrificially in our military. On September 17th, Operation Tank Full of Love will bless soldiers serving at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, with free gas for their vehicles. Help us to say thanks to the soldiers and families serving at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, by getting involved with this outreach. Our goal this year is to serve 2,500 soldiers. If you haven't called in and given an amount, even if it's a small amount, please call and contribute. Again, one way to bless and encourage some of our men and women in uniform. Again, the goal is to serve at least 2,500 soldiers. Operation Tank Full of Love provides this gift from the body of Christ, and it's a great way to let some of our men and women in the armed forces know that we're proud of them and we appreciate them as well. Donations for the fuel are needed to reach the goal, and 100% of that which you give will go towards blessing our troops in this regard. To get involved, go online to tankfulloflove.com. Again, tankfulloflove.com. www.thebetterlife.com, or you can call and donate through this number, 1-877-968-3742. Again, 1-877-968-3742. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. And finally, let me remind you once again, if you have not already, you or your church group has not gotten involved, we're still wanting to encourage you to get involved with our Praying in the Garden project, our outreach. Urban Family Communications has heard the Lord's call for us to give ourselves more and more to prayer. We live in a difficult day, a difficult time in history, yet we serve a God that's very much on the throne, just as much as he ever has been. And it's important for us to know that as we give ourselves to prayer more and more, we'll see the hand of God and the grace of God work in our world and in our culture. So we'd like to invite you and your church group to come to the Garden of Hope. That address is 100 Park Gate, the beautiful prayer garden, the Garden of Hope found behind the building at 100 Park Gate. And we'd like to schedule you to come on an evening at 6 o'clock again, 7 days a week, any day that you'd like to schedule your church group to come out and participate. We'd be glad to hear from you and schedule you to come at 6 p.m., whatever evening works for you. The number to call is 662-844-5036, extension 381. Again, 1-662-844-5036, extension 381. We would really like to schedule you and your group to come out and pray. Pray for our nation, to pray for our local community. Pray for our leaders, pray for our government, pray for the election and any other matters or concerns that are on your heart or the hearts of those that are part of your group. If you'll come out and be a part, we would really appreciate your participating in this wonderful and important outreach. Hope that you'll more and more want to pray for our nation and our culture, much like Jehoshaphat prayed when he said, "Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you." God always knows what to do. Our job is to seek him, to seek his face in prayer continually. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, we read from the book of Psalms, Psalms 23 and Psalm 100. And I want you to keep in mind today, we're looking largely at Psalm 23, and we're looking specifically at the topic of a shepherd for all seasons. Again, a shepherd for all seasons. Understand this, all of us go through many different seasons in life, but it's very important for us to know that one of the many powerful messages in the precious word of God is that God wants us to know that he desires to be our shepherd. He is the good shepherd, and he desires to be our shepherd. And our job is to fully commit our hearts and our lives to him as Lord and Savior and the great shepherd of our lives. But remember, in order for him to be your shepherd, each of us has to make that very important, that all-important step of asking Jesus Christ to come into our hearts as Lord and Savior. And when you make that step, Jesus becomes the shepherd of your life. So as we look at Psalm 23, there are a number of things we want to draw out that I trust will be of encouragement and strength to you as a believer. Now, amongst other things, one very important point as we look at Psalm 23 is that God refers to us, the people of God, as being sheep throughout the Word of God. From the book of Genesis all the way to Revelation, we're referred to and alluded to as being sheep. Now, keep in mind, some people would take that in their minds, in their hearts, they might think, well, God is insulting us, but not at all. God's not insulting us in any regard. God is telling us the truth. We are sheep. And the fact is, it's good to really look at the ways in which we are sheep before the Lord. Number one, sheep need a lot of help. Sheep need a lot of help. Sheep are very dependent animals. They're very dependent on getting help, guidance, and protection from their shepherd. And so we're wise to understand this. God made us in such a way where we're very much dependent on him. In fact, the Word of God says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God." We do need to eat bread for our physical bodies, but we need to eat the bread of the Word of God as well. And it's important to know the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word. And so we're very much dependent on staying in a close fellowship and intimate relationship with him. So the fact that God refers to us as sheep, no, it's not an insult. It's a statement of fact. It's a statement of reality. Sheep also need a lot of protection. They're very vulnerable animals. And the fact is, in this life, we are very vulnerable. That's one more reason why it's so wise for us to commit our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, our good and great shepherd, and stay close to him. Because remember this, when sheep are out in a pasture, wise sheep will stay very close to the shepherd, stay within distance where they can, the shepherd can see where they are and what they're doing, and they just stay close. On the other hand, sheep that are a little bit more rebellious, want to do their own thing, may wander out here, there, and yonder. And sometimes stray sheep are the ones that get caught and killed by predators. Now, of course, keep in mind, our shepherd is always watching out for us. But, you know, as sheep, sometimes we may just deliberately go our own way. And it's important to know, too, if we're wise, though, we will stay close to the shepherd. So as we look at Psalm 23, I want you to keep in mind, no, God is not insulting us at all. He's just telling us a statement of fact. As I said, according to the Word of God, we are sheep. And again, many reasons for that. We're very much dependent on the shepherd. We're dependent on him for protection, for guidance, for provision, for many different things. So as we focus on the topic, a shepherd for all seasons, we want you to grow in your understanding of how the Lord Jesus Christ really is the good and the great shepherd over our lives. And we're wise to stay close and always, always, always follow him. Again, looking once again at Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, thank you for being the good shepherd, the great shepherd. Thank you for being our shepherd, a shepherd that we can trust, that we can look to for salvation, for guidance, for direction, for protection, for provision, and for help in many other ways in life. Lord, thank you for the fact that you're a God who is more than enough. You're more than able to guide us, to provide for us, to protect us, to watch out for us in all and every circumstance. Help us to recognize, Lord, that our job is simply to stay close to you and follow you one step at a time, one day at a time. And teach us to do that both by being faithful students of your word, and teach us to do it also by being faithful persons who live lives given to prayer. And help us to be faithful not only to live lives given to prayer, help us to be faithful to teach and train our children to be persons of prayer as well. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now remember, Psalm 23 is a very short psalm in the Bible, but Psalm 23 is one of, if not the single most favorite passage in all of the Word of God all over the world. Again, it's only six short verses, but it describes for us the characteristics of our great shepherd. Now, once again, let me remind you, if you're not reading your Bible every day, today is a good day to start that habit of reading at least three chapters in the Bible every day. Remember this. One of the very critical and very important building blocks in the life of a disciple to help you grow up in your faith is that you're a student of God's Word. So I want to say clearly to any believer that's listening and you're not reading your Bible every day, you're missing out on a whole lot. Plus, you will not be growing as strong as you need to be in this life and in your walk with God if you're not steady reading the Word of God. Remember this, even if you have the best and most effective preaching and teaching pastor in the world, if the only food, spiritual food you get is the sermon on Sunday morning, you're going to be starved from one Sunday to the next. You need to learn how to feed yourself by reading God's Word every day yourself. So again, three chapters you can read in the Bible in about 15 minutes or so. It doesn't take long, but you'll be feeding your spirit. You'll be empowering yourself. When you read the Word of God, you're pouring light, grace, peace, mercy, strength, and so much more into your mind and your heart. You need that. I need that. We all need that. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk. The Awakening. The Awakening. Shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening. The Awakening. Encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening. The Awakening. Hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud to say that I am not an African-American. I am an American.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
One of the first steps to becoming a Christian is recognizing our sinful nature. What makes this so difficult is that we have selective vision when it comes to our own issues. It's easy for me to see your faults, but when it comes to seeing my own, then my eyesight automatically gets bad. One surefire way to measure new birth in Christ is by opened eyes and a clear vision. Sometimes we can pass between having sight and having no sight because we have fallen asleep to the needs around us, or our perspective on those things that are eternal is distorted. Whatever the case, there is nothing more dangerous than having blurred vision and still thinking that it's clear. Don't measure your vision by your own standards. It will be warped and distorted every time, but rather measure it by God's standards. God desires that our eyesight remains clear. So how is your eyesight today? With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com. I had an opportunity recently to speak at a Women's Day program. As part of the message, I shared the story of Hannah and Peninnah. Those two ladies shared a husband. The difference was Peninnah had children and Hannah did not. The Lord had caused her to be barren. Peninnah thought it was her job to make Hannah miserable every single day of the year. She picked at her and tormented her for a very long time until one day Hannah got herself together and went to church. She worshiped so hard that Eli, her priest, thought she was drunk. Let me just encourage you in the Lord today that if you're in a situation where you've been struggling and fighting something that has been nagging at you, get up from the table, get yourself together, and go lay it at Jesus' feet. Worship Him and allow Him to take the helm. You don't have to announce what you're doing. Just do it and watch God take a barren situation and turn it around. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in hell, let's obey this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones He came to say, till on that cross that Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on Him was laid, here in the death of Christ I lay.
You're listening to the music of Anthony Evans, In Christ Alone. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking specifically at Psalm 23, and we're focusing on the topic of a shepherd for all seasons. And keep in mind, you know, in each of our lives we go through many different seasons, but no one can prepare you and help you to make the most of every season of your life like knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and walking with Him can. So if you're listening today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a good day to get saved. Today is a good day to commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's how he'll become your shepherd. He's not really everybody's shepherd, but he is the shepherd of those who've committed their lives fully to him as Lord and Savior of their lives. So if you're listening today and you've never accepted Christ, again, I'd like to invite you to take a moment to pray this prayer of salvation with me. Because remember this, if you believe that Jesus Christ came into the world, that he lived, that he died on the cross to pay for your and my sins, and that 3 days later he rose up from the dead for our salvation, and if you confess your sins, ask him to forgive you, and invite him to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, he'll do it. He will do it gladly. And so if you would you take a moment now simply to pray this prayer along with me? Just pray, repeat it with me, would you? Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I confess that I've sinned and done wrong in many ways, and I now repent of all my sins. Lord, forgive me for all the wrong I've done. I believe that you died on the cross to pay for my sins, and that 3 days later you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Thank you, Lord, for loving me enough to die on the cross for me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and become my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. In the Bible, you said that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. And I rejoice and I thank you, Lord, now that I am a child of God. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, keep this very important point in mind. The Lord is now the Lord Jesus Christ. You've made him the Lord and Savior of your life, but also he is your shepherd. And I want to share with you some very important, call them fringe benefits of making the Lord the shepherd of your life. As we look at Psalm 23, a number of powerful truths are drawn out about who God is to us and who he will be in our lives as the shepherd of our lives. Number one, again, it starts out by saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's a providing shepherd. He's a shepherd that provides our needs. And it's important that we know that once we've committed our hearts to him as Lord and Savior, he's our Lord and a great shepherd that knows how to provide for all the needs that we face. And so we can look to him and understand this. An important part of the truth behind this is that you and I need to be believers who are given to prayer, because one of the ways whereby God often will meet needs is when we take the time to ask. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, we're told, asking you receive, seeking you will find, knock and the door will be opened. Keep in mind, God calls us to be people that ask. Our prayer life is a vital part of each and every one of our lives. And keep this in mind, for all of us, if we're wise, we will stay in the school of prayer all our life long. Because the fact is, there's so many things the Holy Spirit can, on an ongoing basis, teach us about prayer. And God stands ready to do more for any one of us today, and will do more for each and every one of us if we would but take more time to pray. So if you want to ask the question, are you saying that God will do more for me if I pray more? That's exactly what I'm saying. Because God, not only is he willing, but keep in mind, God wants to bless us in so many ways, but many times there are instances where the main thing God is waiting on, he's waiting on us to ask. Now keep in mind, we serve a wonderful Heavenly Father who's generous in pouring grace and mercy and blessing out upon his children in great abundance and in great generosity. But there's certain blessings that you will only receive if you ask. Remember, the Lord Jesus, he's the good and he's the great shepherd. He's looking for opportunities to bless us. And if we would but simply ask, there are many blessings that God is ready to give you if you'll take the time to ask. Some of those same blessings, though, if you don't ask, some of them you will never get. Again, some of them only come and only will be received if you ask. So that's why we need to live lives where we ask a lot. And of course, we're to ask in line with the Word of God. So we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is a providing shepherd. He provides our needs, but also he'll provide many times desires of our heart as we delight ourselves in the Lord. So he is a providing shepherd, and we can trust him to be a providing shepherd all our life as we simply faithfully follow him. And secondly, he's also a guiding shepherd. You know, you and I need a lot of guidance in life, and not a lot of counsel, a lot of direction. And he does guide us by his voice. The Word of God says, my sheep know my voice. And one of the great ways whereby, or two of the great ways whereby the Lord guides us is by his word and by his spirit. By the word of God and by the spirit of God. Now keep in mind, when you read the word of God, reading God's word is a form of prayer. It's a form of communing with God. So when you read the word of God, you're hearing God speak words of wisdom and counsel. Now keep in mind, even apart from when you're not reading the word of God per se, but you're simply praying, remember this, even in those times of prayer, you're talking to God, but also you are listening to God. Many times it's in our prayer time that our hearing gets much, much better. We can hear God and the voice of God more clearly sometimes when we're praying. And so God will speak. He'll plant desires or concerns or issues on your heart sometimes in the midst of your prayer time. But also God speaks primarily by his word. So do you want to hear from heaven today? Read your Bible. If you want God to talk to you today, read your Bible. If you want to hear wisdom from the heart and the mind of God today, read your Bible, because God's word carries all of these and so, so much more. So secondly, then, he is a guiding shepherd. He guides us by his word, and he guides us also by his spirit. And so remember, the word of God has much of the will of God spelled out clearly in his word. For example, God calls us to pray. You don't have to pray about whether or not God wants you to spend a lot of time praying. The word of God tells us that over and over again. We're called to be prayer, people of prayer. In fact, the word of God says, pray without ceasing. So again, a big part of the will of God for your life is that you live a life given to prayer. How do we know? The word says so. But also we're to be persons who are students, faithful students of the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Also it says, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. We also need to be a people who are given to reading and studying and meditating on God's word all our life long. Not only are we to be faithful to do it, we're to be faithful to teach and train our children and our grandchildren to do the same. And not only them, but we should seek to influence other brothers and sisters in Christ to become students of God's word. We're wise to challenge others on a regular basis to start reading 3 chapters a day. That's an easy challenge, but keep in mind, for some people that you challenge to do it, they'll hear it, and the Spirit of God inside of them will grab that and think, I can do that, and they'll run with it. And so as you regularly challenge others to start reading 3 chapters a day, you'll find that from time to time you have someone to come back and tell you, you remember way back 1 or 2 or 3 years ago when you challenged me to start reading 3 chapters a day? I started, and I haven't stopped since. Thank you so much for challenging and encouraging me. Because remember, it's a whole lot bigger than an intellectual challenge. The Spirit of God is all over this challenge. And when you challenge someone else, the Spirit of God reaches through you and touches someone, and many times it will light a fire in their heart to decide, I'm going to go after God's word in sincerity. So make it a goal to regularly challenge others to start that habit of reading 3 chapters a day in the word of God. So again, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's a providing shepherd. He's also a guiding shepherd. He's also a restoring shepherd. Now, what does that mean? He's a restoring shepherd, a shepherd who restores us when we mess up. And the reality is we desperately need the restoring shepherd that God is for us, because we mess up quite a bit. In fact, to some extent, we mess up every single day. Sometimes we say things we shouldn't have said, or we do things we know we shouldn't have done. We're not as kind or as loving or considerate of other people as we should be. Sometimes there are instances where we should have given to God and given to others when we should have and we didn't. Or sometimes we've just done things that we just, for whatever reason, that we really should not have done. Remember this very important truth. We serve a restoring shepherd. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you mess up and you fall down, don't stay on the ground. Get up, confess it, ask God to forgive you, and just keep going. Now, some might think, well, that sounds too simple, especially when I make a big mistake. I feel like I have to just go through some sort of long, drawn-out punishment. Well, you don't get that from the Bible. The Word of God says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God wants you, when you fall down, God wants you to get up, dust yourself off, confess that sin, ask him to forgive you, and help you to keep going, walking faithfully with him. That's an important truth. I'm reminded of the story of a young preacher one day. He was in a city visiting, and he was walking down the sidewalk, and he walked right up right by the town drunk, a man that would get drunk basically every day, every other day. And he came up to the preacher, said to him, "Say hallelujah, preacher." Well, and of course, as it turns out, the town drunk, as usual, is drunk. Well, the preacher didn't quite know what to say, and he felt a little embarrassed. And the man said out loud, a little bit louder, "Say hallelujah, preacher." Well, the young preacher stood there just a little bewildered as to what to do. And then the drunk took a bottle and hit the young preacher upside his head. And the preacher fell through a plate glass window in one of the stores right on the sidewalk where they were. Now, he really wasn't hurt, but he was mad. He hadn't done anything to this drunk gentleman. And the drunk gentleman just started picking on him, knocked him through the plate glass window. Like I say, he wasn't hurt, but he was angry. And he came up, he found a couple of bottles that were in that window, and he started working on that drunk. And so it appeared to be a fight. At least that's what it seemed like. And the sheriff came along, arrested the town drunk and the preacher. Well, of course, the town drunk, he was right at home. He went to sleep in the cell. He'd been there plenty of times, and he, again, felt at home. However, the young preacher had never been in jail before. He was so ashamed, felt so bad. He felt bad that he'd beat the town drunk up with a bottle, and felt terrible that he'd gotten arrested. Well, later on that evening, both of them were released. But the young preacher felt like he had shamed God and dishonored God so badly that he just felt like, well, I might as well quit preaching. God can never use me again. And so he went off out into the world and just started living a life that didn't honor the Lord at all. But he felt like he just messed up so badly that God couldn't use him anymore. But after living out in the world for about 3 years, he ran into another young minister who was a friend of his. And that young minister explained to him in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that the Word of God says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." The young preacher who'd been out of the world said, "You mean it's just that simple? If I confess it to the Lord and ask Him to forgive me, He'll do it and I can get right back to living the life of following the Lord that I was doing before?" And he said, "It's that simple." The young preacher confessed his sins to God, asked God to forgive him, and recommitted his heart to the Lord, went right back to preaching, and again, went right back to a life where God was able to use him mightily once again. Now, keep in mind, that young man, had he known, he could have done that right after he'd gotten out of jail 3 years earlier. But the Bible says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." There are so many things that when believers don't know, the devil will use your ignorance against you. He didn't know he could confess it to God, ask him to forgive him, and to get right back on the track of following the Lord. But again, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." Well, he did recommit his heart to the Lord and began to be used of the Lord as well. But remember, he didn't have to be out in the world for 3 years at all. He could have gotten it fixed right then and there that same day. But we need to know the Word of God and put the Word of God to work. Remember, we serve a Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a restoring shepherd. He wants to restore us. If we confess our sin and ask God to forgive us, the Lord Jesus is ready with open arms to receive you and to fully restore you. But it's important that we seek Him to be the restoring shepherd that He is and walk with Him as the restoring shepherd that He is. Lord, thank You for the fact that You are a providing shepherd. You're a guiding shepherd. You're a restoring shepherd that will help us, that will encourage us, that will forgive us when we make mistakes, that will guide us and help us to get back on the right track and to stay on the right track as we simply follow You. Help us, Lord, to live and trust You as our restoring shepherd who will forgive us and help us to move forward in greater and greater obedience as we follow You day by day. Thank You, Lord, for being the wonderful, the good, and the great shepherd You are to each and every one of us. And more, help us to not only follow You, but help us to point others to You to be the great shepherd of their lives as well. All of us desperately need You as our shepherd. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. We look today at the topic of a shepherd for all seasons. We'll be right back.
Equipped with Chris Brooks.
This show becomes massively significant to you if your desire is to reach people for Christ. Charles Spurgeon would take any topic and drive that topic home in the heart of the gospel. And that's what we need to do as Christians, have enough self-awareness where we can look and say, what's happening in the world around me and how can I leverage this to get people to talk about Jesus?
Get equipped with Chris Brooks.
Join me Monday through Friday at noon Central Time on Urban Family Talk.
Hi, I'm Cedric. 20 years of drug addiction has taken me to places that were dark and desperate. And as I wandered down the street, I passed Teen Challenge. I've been drug-free for 5 months.
If you know an adult or teenager who's struggling with a chemical addiction, Teen Challenge can help. Call us today at 417-581-2181 or reach us online at teenchallengeusa.com. This is Urban Family Talk.
Dr. Tony Evans says problems in your marriage are a lot like problems with your plumbing and ought to be dealt with in much the same way. He explains as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
See, what happens in marriage is this. It's like a backup in a sink, you know, when your sink backs up. Because there's a lot of junk in there. There's a lot of stuff in there that can go hidden for a while till it builds up. Then when it builds up, it backs up. And husbands get ticked off because all this junk starts backing up. I didn't know you had that dirt over there. I didn't know you had this clog over there. It was there all the time. It just hadn't backed up yet. But Ned starts backing up and all of a sudden the sink gets full of this dirt, this grime. You don't say I'm going to leave you, kitchen, because you backed up on me. I'm never going to have anything to do with you again, sink. You call the plumber. When junk backs up, you don't quit. You bring in a pro. Mister, you the pro. And when your wife backs up, when her history backs up, when the pressure at work backs up, when circumstances back up, you're not to leave. You are her sanctifier. Why? So that you can cleanse her. Things from her past, things from her history. Maybe she was abused by her father. Maybe she was raised around a domineering mother. That didn't disappear just because you came on the scene. You are the sanctifier.
Learn more about how God calls men to serve their families and how fulfilling it is when they do. Get a copy of Dr. Evans' best-selling book, Kingdom Man. It's available at tonyevans.org, along with study guides, leader's guides, and everything you need to promote God's view of manhood in your home or church. Again, that's tonyevans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
I've got to get ready because I've got someplace to go. I'm alive. I'm trying to figure out why. 'Cause after all that I've done, can't believe God let me survive.
Survive.
I don't deserve it.
But my existence has to be for a purpose.
Although I don't understand, I've got to trust
it's all a part of God's plan.
Just like me, yeah.
Just like me, yeah.
'Cause you know where I should be.
Wanna know.
Why am I alive?
Why am I alive?
Why am I still breathing?
Why am I still breathing?
Destiny is waiting.
Destiny is waiting for me.
Plan for my life, and you would think as behind as I was,
he would have left my side.
My side.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I'm not supposed to be here today, but because of my faith combined with his grace, I'm
Music of Dion Kipping, the song Destiny is Waiting. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, today we're looking specifically at Psalm 23, and we're focusing on the topic of a shepherd for all seasons. Remember this, that the best life you can possibly live is a life where you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you're following him as closely as you can, because in close fellowship with relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where God's grace, his mercy, his power are available to us wonderfully in our lives. And again, there's no better life you can live where you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you're carrying out the call of God on your life. Remember this, believers that are following God are carrying out their purpose, their God-ordained purpose for which they were placed in the world. Sadly, many people live their whole life long and miss their purpose because they never came to know Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives and never learned how to follow the good and great shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ, as our good shepherd, is able to guide us into our purpose and help us to fulfill all the call of God upon our lives. So we're wise to listen to him every day and follow him every day as the good and the great shepherd. So far we've looked at these different characteristics of the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, he's a providing shepherd. Number two, he's a guiding shepherd. And number three, he's also a restoring shepherd as well. Again, the words of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. A fourth truth about the Lord is he's a righteous shepherd. He's a shepherd that will know the heart and the mind. Of course, he is God, and he's able to teach and train us and guide us so that we too will come to know the heart and the mind and the will of God, and he'll help us to walk in the righteous will of God in our lives as we simply hear his word and hear his spirit and follow him. So he's fourthly, he is a righteous shepherd who is teaching and guiding us more and more to live a life where we too produce the fruits of righteousness. A fifth truth about the good and great shepherd is that he's a present shepherd. He's an abiding shepherd who is there. Psalm 23 once again says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What is the valley of the shadow of death? Well, it actually can be many different things. The valley of the shadow of death actually can, in a sense, can describe all of life. The fact is we live in a world where sin and difficulty and problems abound in so many regards. So in a sense, one could look upon all of life as being the valley of the shadow of death. But also when you go through unique trials and storms and difficulties in life, they too can become a sort of valley of the shadow of death for you as well. But remember, the Lord has promised to be with us. He tells us in the word, never will I leave you nor forsake you. So again, as that part of the verse says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The Lord Jesus Christ walks with us one day at a time, one step at a time. We're never alone. We're never by ourselves. The Lord Jesus is right there with us every step of the way. And we're wise to live in such a way where we're really living in a way where we recognize that Jesus is right there with us. Many of us would decide many of us wouldn't say some of the things we say if we remembered Jesus is with us. Many of us would be much more loving and kind to other people if we remembered that Jesus is watching us all the time. Many of us would do many different things differently if we recognized and lived a lifestyle where we knew Jesus was with us at all times. Recognize that your shepherd, if you're a believer who's committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, your shepherd is with you at all times. So he's a present shepherd and an abiding shepherd as well. Then six, he's also an almighty shepherd. The word says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What is the rod and the rod of God and the staff of God? They represent the Spirit of God, the power of God. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. And God's rod and staff, again, basically relate to the power of God, the Spirit of God working through the concerns and the issues in this world that relate to the work and the will of God. He's an almighty shepherd. Remember, God can do anything he chooses to do. He's more than able to help you with all the challenges, all the trials, all the difficulties, all the matters that you have to deal with today and for the rest of your life. He's El Shaddai. One of God's names is El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough, or God Almighty. And he is almighty. And so we serve an almighty shepherd who's more than able to protect us, to guide us, to help us, to strengthen us, to help us get through difficulties. And remember, it's always, we're wise to, on a regular basis, remember, speak the word of God and speak promises that line up with the word of God. Your confession, that too, is a weapon. It's wise throughout the day when things are going well, and even when you're having a difficult day, to say, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. Why? Because when you speak the word of God or speak truths in line with the word of God, that's a weapon. That's a form of strength. That's a form of power going to work. Our words are powerful. Whether you realize it or not, our words do many important things in life. Our words encourage our faith, or they can discourage our faith. Our words can help stand with our prayers, or our words, in a sense, can shoot our prayers down. You don't want your words to be a burden to you in your walk with God. You want them to help you and to encourage you. So recognize that the Lord is an almighty shepherd for us as well. Then number seven, he's also a shepherd that is able to do what we need him to do for us. The scripture goes on to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Again, it says he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You know, we live in a world where our enemy may often come against us in many different shapes and forms and ways, but we don't have to worry about the enemy. Our job is to believe that God can do his job. And his job is being God. His job is being the good and the great shepherd. His job is being our guiding shepherd, our providing shepherd, our restoring shepherd, our righteous shepherd, our present and abiding shepherd, and an almighty shepherd. And again, seven, he's an able shepherd, able to do what we need for him to do for us. So he's able to provide us and take care of us in such a way where we can sit down in peace and eat a meal in peace, even on the battlefield. Why? Because God himself is God Almighty, our protector. And finally, then the last two, he's also a generous shepherd. In Psalm 23, it says, my cup runs over. It's good for us to recognize that the Lord is generous to us in so, so many ways. And remember this, a part of us being believers that follow the Lord and trust him as being our good and great shepherd is living a life of humility. Understand this, humility, again, is fully submitting to the will of God. Pride, on the other hand, is disobeying God. Remember, all sin is a form of pride. Every bit of sin is a form of pride. When we refuse to obey the word of God, it's a form of pride. Also, when we live a prayerless life where we hardly ever pray, that's pride. On the other hand, humility will encourage us to look to God, to seek God, to ask him for his guidance, his help, and strength. Why? Because we recognize we're the sheep of God's pasture, and we need a lot of help. So wise sheep, wise believers will pray a lot. And a part of living a life of humility is you pray a lot because it's like saying, God, I'm trusting you because I need your help. Again, but to live a prayerless life is to be full of pride. Now you might think, you might think to yourself, well, I don't pray that much, but it's really not pride on my part. Yes, it is. It's pride that says, I can handle this. And the reality is, no, you can't. You can't and I can't either. We can't handle life on our own. We need God. We desperately need God. So wise believers, wise followers of the Lord Jesus Christ will pray a whole lot. And remember this, on any given day, God is ready to do many more things for you than he's done if you would but ask. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. So he's a generous shepherd, and it says, my cup runs over. God wants to bless abundantly. He wants to bless abundantly. And so he is a God that's generous in his blessing. Remember this, you know, if we had to pay for one breath that we draw in the course of a day, we wouldn't be able to pay for one breath. God gives us thousands and thousands of breaths to breathe every single day. What a blessing. The fact is, God wakes us up every single morning, doesn't charge us a dime to wake us up. The rooster didn't wake you up. The alarm clock didn't wake you up. The children didn't wake you up. The dog didn't wake you up. The dog barking didn't wake you up. God woke you up. And if God doesn't wake you up, you will not get up. So keep in mind, many blessings that God blesses us with generously every single day. We need to live a life full of thanking and praising God because God is so generous to us. He really is. So when you have someone that's living an ungrateful life where they're complaining because this didn't go right, that didn't go right, that didn't go right, well, understand this. That too is pride, because pride has the attitude of, I deserve better than this. I'm supposed to be dealt with better than this. People should appreciate me more. But humility is recognizing life is a gift from God, and God, I don't deserve it nor earn it, but you've given it to me anyway. I thank you and I praise you. So recognizing that we serve a God that's a generous shepherd that takes care of us and blesses us. And the happiest and the most fulfilled people in the world are people that have learned to be grateful, that are grateful for what they have and will thank and praise God as a lifestyle. Because remember, life is a gift from God. Again, we don't deserve it, nor have we earned it, but God has given it to us anyway. So as we continually live a lifestyle of thanksgiving and praise, it'll help us in every part of our life. Because remember, living with an attitude of thanksgiving and praise blesses you all over the place. On the other hand, ingratitude is like poison. It messes everything up. It can cause you to not even enjoy what you have because you or I can be so caught up in what we deserve better than, how we deserve better than this, and what we ought to have, or how other people ought to be blessing us. Don't be an ungrateful person. Finally, he's an eternal shepherd. And again, the latter part of the psalm tells us, again, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy is a good confession to say every day, that you're expecting the goodness and the mercy of God to follow you all your life long. Say that every day. And in the last part, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not only will the Lord be a great shepherd that will guide and provide and look out for you and take care of you here, he will usher you into heaven if you've committed your life to him as Lord and Savior of your life. There's no better life than to live life with the Lord Jesus as your good and great shepherd. Be sure that if you haven't, that you'll commit or recommit your heart to him as the Lord and Savior of your life. You need him to be the good shepherd of your life. And remember, he'll lead you and help you to walk through all the seasons of your life successfully, with grace and mercy and blessing being poured out upon you as you simply hear and follow him. Remember, the Word of God is the voice of God. Do you want to hear from God? You want to hear from your shepherd today? Open your Bible and spend much time. Your shepherd will spend as much time with you as you'll spend with him. Are you busy? Well, everybody's busy. But we need to make time for the shepherd, because he'll make as much time for us as we'll make for him. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for being the good and the great shepherd. Help us more and more to live a life trusting you as the good and great shepherd. And Lord, help us not only to live trusting you as our shepherd, help us to do all we can to help as many people come to know you as the good and great shepherd of their lives as we can as well. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for listening. As always, we appreciate you listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
Family Talk.